This is Ozarks at Large. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear some local musicians pay tribute to Pete Seeger in advance of a program at Nightbird Books on Monday night. Speaking of Pete Seeger, I have someone in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio who has had some interaction with the legendary folk singer. And Chelsea Hodge, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are earning your master's in history at the University of Arkansas.
Yes.
And your... We'll talk about Pete Seeger in a minute, but this begins with your study of a native Arkansan.
Yes. So I research a woman named Zilphia Horton, who was a labor activist, and she worked mostly in Tennessee, but she was from Arkansas. She was born in Spadra, which is a small community outside of Clarksville, born to a white, middle-class family. Her father managed coal mines, which kind of makes her transformation into a labor activist even more compelling. But she originally radicalized after she graduated from college. She met Claude Williams, who was a Presbyterian preacher in Paris, Arkansas, who was very radical, had some dealings with communists and socialists, and preached against racism, did a whole bunch of things that made people really angry. So at his encouragement, she attended the Highlander Folk School in Monteagle, Tennessee, where she met Miles Horton, who she married.
Yes.
And then became Highlander's music director and worked there for the remainder of her life.
You mentioned college. She went to what is now the University of the Ozarks in Clarksville.
Yes. And she studied piano and voice. So she has a classical education in music. But as music director of Highlander, really dealt more with folk music, spirituals, hymns, people's songs.
Collected them, right?
Yes.
Collected them through other people and through what she heard.
Mm-hmm. So when students would come to Highlander and take her classes, she would, first of all, ask them to teach her the music that they sang in their home situation. So songs they sang in strikes, at union meetings, she would learn those from one group and then take them to another group, teach them, help this other group change the words to apply to their personal situation. So she was always learning and reteaching and just collecting and continuing to spread that music.
And though she didn't write these songs, she is credited with really kind of advancing them among the popular consciousness.
Yes, absolutely, because she published songbooks for Highlander almost every year, collect all of this music and publish them in songbooks. But then she was also asked all the time to come to union meetings. She would lead songs at different strikes for different organizations. So she wasn't just teaching this music at Highlander. She was teaching it all across the country as well.
And these songs are like a litany of the first half of the 20th century of folk music that we are this little light of mine and we shall overcome.
Yes. She learned them from two workers who attended Highlander from the Tobacco Workers Union. And there's a lot of conflicting stories as to how the song was first used and how it was taught to her. So kind of the, I guess, common story is that it was used by the Tobacco Workers Union when they did a strike against the American Tobacco Company in Charleston, South Carolina. And the song, which was originally We Will Overcome, had been a African-American church spiritual that was used by African-American strikers, changed the words, made it into a union song. So according to Pete Seeger, it was actually a black striker who came to Highlander and taught Zilphia this the song. But according to Guy and Candy Carawan, who were other labor and civil rights activists, it was actually white workers from the strike who came. They say that these workers probably did not actually sing the song at the strike, but just heard the black workers singing it. And then brought it to Highlander, and that Zilphia actually had to really work hard to convince them to sing it to her because it wasn't their song. So I don't know who is actually right.
Right.
But regardless, she learned the song around 1946. Actually is quoted as saying, "Its strong emotional appeal and simple dignity never fails to hit people. It sort of stops them cold silent." So right away, she started working to develop the song into something that could be used by unions and at strikes. And it was in 1946 that she taught We Will Overcome to Pete Seeger.
Right. And of course, it becomes associated with him over the next several decades. And as you mentioned, she taught him We Will Overcome.
Mm-hmm.
He changed it to Shall. right?
Yes,
that's what I've read in the obits over the last
right.
week.
So this is actually really interesting to me because I also read in his obituaries that he changed it to shall. But when I talked to him, he said that it might have been me that added the shall, but it wasn't just me. A black woman might have, Septima Clark. We thought it opened the voice better. So, you know, that, you know, I talked to him when he was in his mid-90s, so maybe he just was starting to misremember it. But he said that it was kind of a collective effort. I also found it really interesting that they changed it just simply because it was better to sing that vowel.
Well, and I had read, again, attributed in some obituaries, a quote to him that he wanted it to be a sing-along.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought that was an easier or better way to sing along with it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think any person who sings casually or professionally could tell you that's just – it just flows through the voice better.
So you talked to him last year in your research. You pick up the phone and look for upstate New York phone numbers, and there he was.
Well, actually, what happened was two professors had visited the university to talk about their book that they had just published called the Social Gospel of the Working Class. They'd interviewed Pete Seeger for this. And when I told them that I was researching Zilphia Horton, they said, oh, you got to talk to Pete Seeger. And I was, well, how does one just talk to Pete Seeger? And what they had done is written him a letter. And he had written them back with his phone number, and then they called him. So they said, just write him a letter. So I did. I just wrote him a letter and had expected him, if anything, to write me back. But he didn't. He just called. And I was in the Fayetteville Public Library, totally unprepared. I didn't have any way to record him. But luckily, I had a notebook with me. I sat down in the coffee shop of the library and just wrote as furiously as I could while he talked.
How long did you talk to him?
It was about 40 minutes.
Wow. So what all – you talked to him about her?
Yes. So I had said in the letter, you know, I was researching Zilphia Horton. I was interested in what he knew about her, their association. So most of it was him just talking. I got a couple of questions in, but he was also, I think, pretty hard of hearing and had a hard time understanding me. But he did. He talked about what he knew about her, how he mostly knew her through doing concerts. They would do fundraising concerts, especially in New York City, to raise money for Highlander.
If you ever hear a recording or a performance of We Shall Overcome, is it different for you now than it was before?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I've always been interested in the civil rights movement, especially in my master's degree, taking classes on it. But now it feels almost personal. You know, it's I'm too young to have experienced any of the actual, you know, performance of those songs in their real setting, but to know so much of its history beyond what just the popular kind of sanitized narrative of it is really something.
And what's the ultimate destination for your work?
So in the fall, I am starting the PhD program, so I'm hoping to develop this thesis into a dissertation on Zilphia Horton, hopefully turn it into a book, but we'll see about that.
When the book is out, will you come back?
I will come back for sure.
Chelsea, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Chelsea Hodge is working on her master's degree in history at the University of Arkansas.